8-year-old. All right. And it's good to come to receive from the Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord. And I want to, before I get started here, what I want to share here, I want to read a verse here. In let's see, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see if we can get it here. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. This ain't what we're really sharing on, but I want to stress a point here. It says, God is faithful. Okay? And first Paul said it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. I'm going to read this verse before we get started. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, I want to think about the faithfulness of God. He's the one that makes us faithful. Because we can't do anything in and of ourselves. But we have to depend totally upon the Lord. And I want to share, I think, let's see, I got it marked here, I believe. I can find my place. Thought I did, but at first, in Matthew, yes. Matthew chapter 4. Okay, it's the temptation of Christ. I want to share a little bit about that. I want to read 1 through 11, and then we'll get started. It says, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. And then he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Okay, something about it. Every time I have something to say, my mouth gets real dry. You got a little water now. Thank God. I mean, it dries me up like
passion.
Yeah, and I had a little drink of water this morning, but it's just normal, I guess. A lot of times they keep water here. But, yeah, Scott, if you got a little bottle of water. I think I'm just getting attacked, or maybe it's just a natural reaction. I don't know why, but it always happens. Okay, maybe that'll work. Now I'm not dry. But anyway, if you see this story here and hear this message about where we're finding here, right before we get into this story, Jesus was... He said something in verse 15 in the third chapter, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. John baptized Jesus, But he said something in reliance in the fact that 14. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and you need. Do you need to come to me?" It's like, but yet Jesus had to be baptized. It's to fulfill all righteousness. Everything is the fulfilling of the scriptures. Jesus was preaching under law before grace. He was the person of grace, but yet the law had to be fulfilled, and he fulfilled every jot and every tittle. But at the same time, he was going to be tried. He was going to be tempted of the devil. And it was of the Lord. It was of God. God Almighty tempted his son through the devil. He allowed him to go through temptation. And yet, what I want to get you to see is God is faithful. That verse I read to you earlier that I kind of added in there, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4:24, you know, somewhere there. He says, God is faithful who will also do it. You can depend upon the Lord. You can depend upon Christ. He'll always be faithful. Not one time will he be unfaithful. So I'm thankful for that, and I've found that to be true in my life. Many times I've been unfaithful. Many times I've failed, but he picked me back up. And remember, the Lord is for you. He's not against you. So you can't go wrong. So the Lord was attacked by Satan, and he tempted him. 40 days he fasted in the wilderness. The wilderness is like a place of desert, place without or barren or alone. But yet, here the devil come and attacked the Lord. And with 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. But he tried to get him to fall, and he tried to get him to receive what he had. He says, turn them stones over. Turn them stones into bread. He said, command them. You can do it. He says, if you're the Son of God. He was trying to say, are you the Son of God? No, he knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. But the devil was trying to trip him. He'll try to trip you. And that's what he always has been doing. But we've got to say, hey, I'm going to trust in the Lord. He'll get me through this situation. There's nothing you're going to go through that you can't, that he can't bring you through, and he'll exceed, he'll triumph over it, he will reign over the situation, and you will come through, and then you can say, thank you, Lord. Because sometimes we fall, but we don't have to fall. We don't have to give in to it. So the devil come, and his name was the tempter. He's the false accuser, but he come to he was attacking the Lord. Right here in his first in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, he was attacking him. He was trying to get him, and he tried to attack him through hunger. But yet he knew his Father had food for him, the Lord Jesus, and he didn't give in to it. He didn't go with him. So it says it was written. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And the Old Testament quotes it in Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So he was living by the word of God. He was living by the Father's, and doing the Father's will. So he wasn't doing his will. Think about it. The devil took him up into a holy city to stand on the highest point on the temple. And he said, throw yourself down. If you're the Son of God. Here again, try to trip him up again if you're the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. But yet, he tried to cast doubt on him. He tried to trip him up. And it says here, and he says he'll give his angels charge concerning you, lest you are on their hands. They will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. But what did Jesus say? The second time he said, it is written. Now, it is written. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He was tempting the Lord. He was testing the Lord. And he was allowing the Lord to go through this. The Lord was going through a trial. He was being proven. And he was found faithful. He said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The Lord put the word on him. He says, it's written. This is what we do when we go through the temptations and a test. We put the word on him. We use the word. We rely upon God in this time we're living. And again, the devil took him up to a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. Then he said, all these I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. He was doing everything contrary to what God was, God's plan. He was trying to get him to worship him. And here he's trying to get the creator of the earth to worship him and bow down to him. Well, the Lord knew better. He says, written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Well, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't about to do that. But he said, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God. It's going to fall down. I think it will. It's all right. I want to read some scriptures here about the temptation of Christ. First thing I want to say is, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. It's common to be tempted. There's no temptation has overtaken you or overpowered you. And God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it or to go through it. He's our way of escape. We just got to trust him like Jesus did. He trusted the Father, and he went through the temptation. He was found faithful. He endured the temptation, and he never sinned. And then Exodus 17:7 says, and he named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? You know, the children of Israel went through trials and tests. But then they said, is the Lord among us or not? You know? And then Matthew 28:18, but Jesus perceived their malice, speaking of the hypocrites, and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? They were even testing Jesus. That's nothing new. But in Revelation 3:10, because you have the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, which hour is about to come upon the whole world and to test those who dwell upon the earth. There's coming a time where it's a great trial and testing like never before upon the earth. And, but the Lord promised to keep them from the hour of testing, those of his. But the others that have said no to God, they're going to face judgment, and it's going to be a hard time. But I'm thankful that the Lord has gave us hope through the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior. We are going to be kept from the hour of testing. I don't believe we're going to go through it, but different people vary on certain things, but I'm just looking for the Lord. I know he's coming one day. I'm not so wrapped up in worry about when he's coming, because he's coming. And that's the good thing. Whether he comes in my lifetime or not, to me, it really probably don't matter. I'd like him to. I know a lot of people said they thought that the Lord was coming in their lifetime, coming again to receive them in the air. But yet, they died. I just heard of another one who died. But you know what? He was saved. And the best thing is, it's all redemptive. God had a purpose. And he knew the man would die, the person I'm thinking of. But yet, he's called on home to glory. The angels received him. And God took him. He received him safe and sound. And the thing of it is that it's a loss to the family and their sorrow and their suffering, but it's in the plan of God. God allows suffering. God allows testing. But it's for to make us conform us to his image. He's making us more like Jesus. Jesus suffered. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God, and he's making intercession right now for us. He made intercession for our sins. He paid for our sins on the cross, but yet he's praying for us. He's praying for us to succeed and go through life. Whatever you have comes against you, He'll see that you can make it through. Because it's by His grace that we're going to make it home. It's by His grace that we're saved. It's by His grace that we live. And it's by His grace that we'll die. And we'll go up to be with Him. We don't deserve anything. I can't do anything of myself. But it's all of Him. And He's got to do it. I'm helpless. Okay? But I want to read another verse here. But I got everything I need. I got Jesus. And you do too. If you've accepted Him. The Bible says here that James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Happy or satisfied is the man who perseveres under trial. Okay? And he, once he's approved, he'll receive the crown of life. But see, God has approved us. We have to be approved by the Lord, and He's given the grace and the strength to persevere. And He says, be satisfied. That's what blessed means, be satisfied. Because I was thinking happy, but someone made a comment on it, and they said, well, happiness comes and goes. But to be satisfied, because in Him, there's no lack. He's our supply. Thank you, Lord. And then James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Okay? So James says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Which seems like there's a seeming contradiction from James 1:13, and then also there, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. God allows us to be tempted. James was bringing a different point out here. He says, and also, verse 1:15, then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth, gives birth to sin. See, there's a birth. When lust conceived, then sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. We don't have to give in to the temptation. The Lord is our escape. He's faithful to bring us out of whatever we're going through. We don't have to yield to it. So, in James 1:2-4, I want to read, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let the endurance have its perfect work or result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So you're going to go through trials, you're going to go through testings, and I've got some other things here I want to read here also. In Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The Lord was tempted. He was tried and He's tested and proven. He was found faithful. And He understands our weaknesses to sympathize. He understands. He knows what we're going through. And in Matthew 26:41, the B part, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord is always for us and willing, but we're weak, but in Him we're strong. In Galatians 5:16, we're just reading some scriptures. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And that's the key. To walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. We're living the exchange life. We're trusting Him. We realize that we died when He died in the crucifixion. He crucified. And we live because He lives. So we trust Him, and then He empowers us to live, and He accomplishes His purposes in us. In Romans 1:2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? So we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, but it's Him living in us. Ain't nothing we can do. It's everything He's doing. But then we find ourselves, we receive Him. We live in Him. And we trust Him. And He's making us holy. You can't make yourself holy. He's the Holy One. But we're called the Holy Ones in some places in the Scriptures, but it's because of Him. Because of Him. And because His Word is holy. 40, I believe, means testing. In many cases, even in the Old Testament, it was 40 days, 40 years, or whatever. They were going through. They were tried. They were tested. And will be tested, as you know. And I want to read here, Exodus 34:28. Moses was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, ate no bread or water. He wrote on the tablets words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. So Moses, he went through the same illustration as Christ, but yet he was Moses was faithful. He was a man that was humble. Instead of proud and unbelief, he was a man that was humble and a man of faith. He trusted God. And then I want to read here, 1 Kings 19:8, Elijah ate a bread cake and drank a jar of water and went in the strength of the Lord, of that food, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. So Elijah went through, illustration here, went through a time of 40 days and 40 nights. In Deuteronomy 8:3, in the wilderness, 40 years God led Israel by humbling them. And this is what it's telling you right here. It speaks for itself. He was testing them to see what was in their heart, allowing them to be hungry, allowing them to go through these experiences, fed them with manna to make them understand man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. So here the thing of it is, the Lord has always provided and met our needs. He's our provision. He's our supply. But yet, He gave them only what they needed. They needed to trust Him. They didn't need no more than that. In the wilderness, let's see here. Tempted in the Greek is paraizo. It means to test, prove, entice, or tempt. That's what I found here on that. Then Jesus was tested, so will we be. The devil, in the Greek, his name's Diabolos, which is a false accuser. Okay? So he was trying to find fault with the Lord, trying to, he'll do the same with us, to try to accuse us and to bring up things you've went through, but yet, you know, let's look to the Lord, because we can look back. We can look past whatever our old life was, and we have a new life, and now we're living in what Christ is doing through us, so we can think the best thoughts. We don't have to give in to that. And then the temple, it's a sacred place here, the temple, what he's referring to. Then 1 Peter 1:7, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. The devil was tempting Jesus to try to get him to fall. When God tempted us, He tests us to prove us, to reveal His character and nature through us. God will tempt us. The Bible says in one place God tempted no man. But God tempted Abraham. In the King James, I think it was, it said God tempted Abraham, but He tried Abraham. He was trying him. He was proving him. And He had a purpose for him. But He wasn't tempting him to evil. If God allows temptation to come for us, it's only to tempt us for the good. Okay? The devil wants you to obey him. And I believe he wants he wanted to Christ obey him, he wanted to kill him, and he wanted him to worship him. That's what he wants us to do. But we know better. We're not giving in to that. I started thinking, if we seek the Lord, we will find him in his word. Think about that. If we seek the Lord, we will find him, and he'll be right here. And just hear from him, because he speaks, and he talks to us. And I like to think of it as the word pray, as hear from God. Talk to God. Let him speak to you. You hear from him, and then he hears from you. You'll talk to God. He talks to you, and you talk to him. We have a relationship. But God allowed us to be tested so we could grow spiritually and go through a process of testing and totally to rely upon God. I have something else here I want to share. Temptation begins in the mind and the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our mind, what do we think about? In our heart, what's in our heart? You know, and we need the mind of Christ, so we need to mind the things. That's why we need to hear fresh from the Word every day. I don't tell you how long, I don't know. Hey, spend some time with Jesus. Get to know him. That's what it's all about. Jesus always obeyed the Father. He did the Father's will. The Holy Spirit came upon him and led him. He was led right into this situation. It was needful. But he was found faithful. And when he's faithful, we can be faithful through him. Jesus won the battle for us because the battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. It's his battle. Think about it. In this Christian life, I say I cannot live a Christian life, but he can. So him in me is working out his will, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus did, the Father's will. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. We are to live in the fullness, his fullness. In him we're complete. Remember, God ordained us to be tempted, tested, and tried. It's his plan. It's his will. We'll be tempted, tested, and tried. And then, to reveal, for what reason? To reveal his character in our lives. You know? He's revealing what have we received. You know? That's who we are. We become in him. And he reveals his character and his nature. And I live from victory to victory. I'm not living to get victory. I'm living from victory because he already won it at the cross. But because he won it, he's my victory. And then in Romans, he says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. It's a gift. I accept that, as you have. I am weak, but he is strong. So I don't live to get victory. I live from victory. And then I trust him daily, and I'm telling you that we are to do the same. We trust him and say, Lord, fix what I need fixed. Help me. See, we need help. There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to help you. But he'll get us through it. And Matthew 6:13, the A part, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here the Lord had this. He spoke this in red letters. And he was speaking and telling me, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So it ain't something that the Lord's always running things, allowing you'll be tempted all the time, but you will be tempted in certain times to prove you. I mean, everything goes good? Hey, if everything went good, every day was sunshiny, and it wasn't no bad times, we'd only know the good times. But there's bad times. But he uses it all in his plan. A sovereign God at work in our lives. But he's making us more like him. But knowing one day there'll never be another bad day. That's the good thing. And then, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly. 2 Timothy 2:9, the A part, speaks of a person. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. The Lord will go with us in the temptation and bring us out. See, he sent us, He don't leave us. We leave him. So we need to continue to allow him to work in us. And Jesus was faithful. Jesus was faithful in this story. And it's inspiration to me. It's an encouragement. And we can trust him to make us faithful through his power. It's not by might nor by power. But by my spirit. It's by the spirit of the living God that he achieves anything through us. So it's not for me, but it's all of him. And I pray that something I said would be an encouragement to you to say, keep on keeping on. Make your mind up that you're not turning back. Oh, you could do that because you'd feel, well, things don't seem to be working out for me. But I want you to know one thing. God is for you. And he's going to help you from the beginning to the end, from the start to the finish. So thank you for allowing me to share today and a little bit about this here. It encouraged me, and I just hope that you were encouraged. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to share your word, and we thank you that you're the faithful one through your darling son, Jesus. And we thank you for saving us and then keeping us. So we trust you from day to day, and we don't have to worry about tomorrow because it's in your hands. So help us to always look to you, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. If anybody would like to make a comment that add to, like the story of the temptation of Christ, go ahead. Because it's not one person here, it's everybody. We're in this together. So.
I just want to thank you for your humility that you show.
Okay.
I'm not anybody who can do what you just did.
Right.
You can see the humility and the Christ and all living in your heart. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I am what I am. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I can only say that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. Mm-hmm. Even when a person dies. I mean, if they're saved and they die, and it so happens they happen to have to die through tragically at this time through this all these viruses and stuff, you can't help but feel sorry. But you know what? It's all redemptive. God had a purpose. He redeemed them. Now he took them home. And for some reason, he knew the day of their death. And he had a purpose in it. So, hey, yeah, thank you, sir, for the comment. And, hey, I don't know what all's going to happen from day to day, but I'll just give myself to the Lord and say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Because I kind of ran from the Lord for years, and I kind of got scared. Okay, I was scared. No wonder I dropped a drink of water.
I'm ready for it again.
But because my mouth got so dry, I think I got, I don't know, it's probably something common when you're sharing, so I don't need to say much more, but I thank the Lord that he saved me, and he saved us all, I hope. And trust. Only the Lord knows your heart, and it's the greatest. It's the greatest decision that I can make as far as coming to Him. He brought me to Himself. He made me realize that I needed Him. So that's the point. The Lord is at work in our lives, and just allow Him to have His way. Hey, you want to shut that thing off? and hey, it's all good, you know. We'll see what happens. I stood because the devil was attacking me, and I wasn't standing. And I figured I better stand. I said, Lord, here am I. You know, I had a lot of difficulties. I ain't going to do it, and I felt like giving up. But you know, we don't want to give up. We just got to keep on running. So thank you for letting me.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard.
Said too much.